Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In a very well-known passage of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16 to walk by the Spirit. Our walk is how we live, how we move, even how we have our being. It's a very inclusive term, and to meet the spiritual requirement of the New Testament, we need to live, move, and have our being by the Spirit. Practically, what does this mean? Well, that's the focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. The Apostle Paul wrote a tremendous epistle, or a letter to the believers of Christ in the region of Galatia. These simple, seeking Christians loved the Lord, but were caught in the ongoing struggle, trying to live the Christian life and satisfy God by living up to the expectations placed on them both outwardly and inwardly. Gary Kaiser is here with us again as we look at a problem that still plagues nearly all of us today, about 2,000 years later, and that is walking by the Spirit. Welcome back to the program, Gary.
Thank you. It's very good to be here again.
Gary, these Galatian believers were drifting away from the truth. Paul tells them that they were in danger of falling from grace and being separated from Christ. But again and again in this letter, he points them back. And this is interesting. He points them back not to God or to Jesus generally, but very specifically, he points them back to the Spirit. Why the Spirit, Gary?
Well, I think it's helpful to go back to your statement concerning the fact that we're caught in an ongoing struggle. We're trying to live the Christian life, satisfy God, live up to some expectations that we have ourselves and expectations of those around us. It's quite interesting that the unbelievers always know how the Christians should live, even though they themselves don't have any part in it. So we're dealing with an issue that plagues us. It's very helpful for us to realize that every member of the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, is actively involved. Each one is actively involved in carrying out this Christian life, living out a life that is according to God. But the reality of the functions of the Spirit, the Father, the Son, are all in the consummated triune God who is the Spirit. So if we do not have the Spirit, in practicality, we do not have the dispensation of God. We don't have the redemption of Christ. We don't have the regenerating Spirit even if we're not connected to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. So we've seen that the Spirit is the consummated triune God. That Spirit is now mingled with our spirit. So the apostle is focusing the attention again and again. You have a mingled spirit. You are able to live in this spirit, walk in this spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
That's helpful, Gary. Well, that's our topic today, walking in the Spirit. So let's get to it with our first section with Witness Lee.
The Christian walk is altogether a matter by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Up to the end of chapter 5, Paul has laid a good foundation for all of us to realize what he says, walk according to the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit. In Greek, The word walk means to have your being, including all moves, acts, and doings. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you act, whatever you move, this is to walk. In other words, walk is just our living, our daily life. In verse 16, Paul says, walk by Spirit. Why he expressed this way? Because now in chapter 5, the Spirit must be the Spirit indwelling our spirit. And it must be the Spirit mingles himself with our spirit. When the New Testament says the indwelling spirit, it implies our spirit indwelt by the indwelling spirit. These two spirits are one. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It is neither the human spirit only, nor the Holy Spirit only. It is a mingled spirit. The Holy Spirit mingled with the human spirit. And there is such a spirit within us. If we don't have such a spirit within us, that means what? That means we have not been saved. We have not been regenerated. There is such mingled spirit within us. Paul, in his writing in this book, tried his best to impress the distracted Galatians with this one thing. Chapter 3, he checked with them. Did you receive the Spirit by hearing of faith or by works of law? He tried the best to impress the Galatians that they did receive a Spirit. Then, in the same chapter, he also checked with them, saying, having begun by the Spirit, you have received the Spirit, and you have begun your Christian life by the Spirit. He impressed them with this one point, that the Spirit has been received by them, and that they have started a life by the Spirit. But they were distracted. They were distracted from this spirit to the dead letters, to the law, to circumcision, to some ordinances of Judaism.
So Gary, in the Apostle Paul's effort to really rescue these Galatian believers from their falling away from grace, it seems that he goes to great lengths to impress them with this matter of the Spirit. Why is the Spirit the main safeguard against the kind of stumbling that we see by the Galatians?
Well, in Galatians 3:2, Paul asked that question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by hearing of faith? Paul's effort here is to encourage them to reconsider what it is that they're doing. The law will always stir up the flesh. The law will never fulfill the righteousness of God. It can only point out the lack. It cannot supply the capacity. So the Spirit is the releasing of the divine energy within us. Brother Lee here makes a strong emphasis on the indwelling Spirit. There is now in our spirit, as believers, the Spirit of God indwelling and energizing us to live this life. We cannot ever complete or fulfill God's purpose out of our natural disposition and our effort. there's an utterance that Brother Lee had I appreciate very much, that the flesh is the uttermost expression of the fallen tripartite man, and the spirit is the ultimate realization of the process triune God. So these two are always struggling against one another. Any effort we make to live properly will bring in the flesh. We need to choose to live by another life, that of the indwelling spirit within us. Then, as Galatians 5:16 tells us, you walk by the Spirit, you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a critical verse. You walk by the Spirit, you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. I appreciate this verse very much because it shows us a guaranteed way not to fall, according to the Galatian believers, not to fall into the lust of the flesh. If we walk by the Spirit spontaneously, we will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. This is Paul's word in Romans chapter 8, verse 4. We are in another realm. And when we walk by the Spirit, there is a spontaneous fulfillment of the law. It's not that we try to practice it. It's that we forget about it and simply live by the Spirit. And in the process of that, we are freed from the law, from the flesh, from the efforts within ourselves, which caused the Galatian believers to fall.
It's a very practical issue that if we walk by the Spirit, we shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. What a liberating word. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We have the capacity, we have the possibility to walk not by our fallen being, but by the precious triune God. Why? Because Christ has redeemed us, and the Spirit has regenerated us. And God has dispensed Himself so much into our spirit. Now, we do have the precious God as the all-inclusive spirit in our spirit. We do have such a reality. We also have a fallen tripartite being. We still have it. We still are in our body. We still are here in our soul. And we still are here in our old spirit. Body, soul, spirit, all the tripartite man, this is absolutely corrupted, rotten, poisoned, and fallen. We have to admit these are the possibilities that we are in. We are in a wonderful person, and we are in an awful person. We do have these two possibilities. Now, what should we do? To keep the law is always flesh, attempting to do good, to please God. Law is altogether related to the flesh. So don't go back to the law. The reason that Paul has written this letter is not only to rescue the distracted Galatians from the law, but rather, on the positive side, is to bring them back to such a realization that they do have the triune God processed as the life-giving spirit in their spirit. They can do things, and they can walk, and they can live, they can have a being by this spirit. Don't be tempted to believe in what you have suffered. Don't be tempted to believe in what you have just been defeated. Forget about your feeling. Forget about your sensation. Forget about your background. Forget about what you realize. Now, you must be rescued from all those kind of realizations. And you must be brought back to this realization that the triune God is now in you. Not only as the Redeemer, as the Savior, in you as the all-inclusive Spirit. I love this term, walk by the Spirit. In Paul's writings, he never charged us to walk according to certain doctrines. He never charged us to walk according to certain Bible verse. I don't mean we should walk not according to the Bible verses. I don't mean that. But listen, Paul charges us to walk in a living way. That we must walk by the Spirit. We must learn all the day to have our being. Where? In our spirit. Every day. The whole day. Including the night, the sleeping time. All the time, you must have your being in your spirit.
Gary, I really like Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it doesn't say to walk according to doctrine, according to teaching, but to walk by the Spirit. This whole topic can be a bit mysterious, but is it really that mysterious, Gary?
I would say that it is quite mysterious because it involves God, who is a mystery. It includes Christ, who is also a mystery. And it produces a living that is the mingling of God and man. That's quite mysterious. So I would say it's very mysterious, but from another angle, another perspective that Brother Lee, I think, was bringing out particularly here, we could say at least that it is not complicated. It is not that much of a mystery for us if we learn the simplicity of walking in the Spirit. This walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, is the same word in Greek. This walk in the Spirit is the spontaneous living, having our being in oneness with the Spirit who is indwelling our spirit. So Brother Lee made a strong statement. We have the capacity. We have the capacity. Not in our natural man. But in the Spirit, we have the capacity to walk, to carry out, to have our being expressing God in this great mystery, the result of the Spirit in our spirit is simple living. It's a guarantee that we are able to carry out God's purpose. That's a marvelous matter. And again, Brother Lee made a statement here, walk in a living way. That indicates that every moment we need to be enjoying, partaking of, participating with the triune God in our spirit, which is the Spirit in our spirit, by which we're able to fulfill His righteous requirements.
Amen, Gary. That's good. Now we want to go to the matter of bearing fruit, which is another verse, verse 22 in Galatians chapter 5. Witness Lee is going to talk about this in the final section. So I think it's very helpful, especially the way Witness Lee opens it up. So let's go to that right now.
Verse 23 says, meekness, self-control, and other seven items in the preceding verse against such things. The word such indicates the fruit of the Spirit is not only of nine aspects. It must be of more than, much more than nine, 29, 39, it may be 90. Not just nine, but more than nine. Because these nine are such things. It doesn't say against these things. Against such things, there's no law. Why? Because the law only condemns things evil. But all the fruit, all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are not evil. Now, a word concerning the difference between all these virtues here and our natural virtues. Here it says, love, joy, peace. Could you differentiate our natural love from the very love that is the fruit of the Spirit? Even before we got saved, we didn't have the Spirit. We didn't have the divine life in us. By that time, you did love someone, right? Before you were saved, you also have peace. You even had kindness. For a long time after I got saved, I didn't know what the difference between these two categories of attributes. The natural attributes have nothing of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is full of the spiritual substance. It is the fruit of the Spirit. In the church life, we must have a love that is full of the substance of the Spirit. We must have a love, a joy, a peace, a kind of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, full of the element of the Spirit. Amen. Actually, it is the expression of the Spirit. All these attributes as different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are what? Are characteristics of Christ. They are different expressions of Christ. This means we are just living out Christ. The difference between the natural attributes and the fruit of the Spirit is the natural attributes don't have anything of the Spirit. But the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is full of the substance, the element of the Spirit. When you have the natural attributes, you don't need to go into your spirit. You just love people by yourself. You're just so good by yourself. You're just so meek by yourself. But to have the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, you must get into your spirit. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul expected. He wanted a work by the Spirit.
Gary, the 9 items that are listed here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 are identified as the fruit of the Spirit, to which Christians often refer to. We always hear about the fruit of the Spirit, and all these things like love, joy, peace, even meekness and self-control, these are all things that to some degree all people have experienced, and at times even manifested, both believers and unbelievers. So how can we tell the difference? What distinguishes between natural human virtues and the real, genuine fruit of the Spirit?
The key is, again, the Spirit. So when they talk the Spirit, we're speaking about the consummated triune God. So the attributes of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, are altogether wrapped up in God. In other words, God is just dwelling in these things. God is a part of these things. These things are out from God. They are not the natural attributes, which have nothing of God in them. The natural attributes may be a potential container for the divine attributes, but the natural attributes do not express God, do not glorify God, are not God. Also, the fruit of the Spirit here is indicated by the fact the realization of Christ is the Spirit. And so Christ in his attributes, Christ in his characteristics, Christ in his expression are in the fruit of the Spirit. The natural attributes have nothing of this. Do not express Christ, do not glorify Christ. So the fruit of the Spirit is the very essence of God dispensed into man and coming out in an expression. It is the fruit. It is not the effort. It is not the work. It is the fruit.
We're really handling some of the great verses of the New Testament and the New Testament economy as Paul was imparting it to the Galatians and then to the whole body of Christ for the ages to follow. Thanks for the enjoyable fellowship
Amen.
Today, Gary.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'd like to thank Gary Kaiser for joining us today. I especially like to thank you for listening. I'm Matt Miller. Please join us again as we continue the life study of Galatians.